Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Starting us off here on the Billboard Chartbeat podcast, because this one is all about Daya, and more specifically, the label. Really interesting story of how Daya has gotten signed and broken through over the past year, because it's an independent label called Artbeats. We're going to get into the whole story today here on the Billboard Chartbeat podcast with the co-founders of the Artbeats label, Steve Zapp, CEO, co-founder, and also Gino Barletta, president and creative director of Artbeats. Guys, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having us.
So, first,
thanks for having us, Gary.
Absolutely. So I know we're taping this on Thursday, the 6th of October. The album, Daya's debut full length, Sit Still, Look Pretty, comes out tomorrow. So congratulations on that. You guys were actually at the listening party. Was it two nights ago, right? The premiere right. Party.
Absolutely, and it was insane. The place was packed. Everybody was dancing, singing, and it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. I mean, it was a perfect event, and from what I hear, everyone said it was the best listening party they've ever been to, so I love that.
And Daya had fun. It had to be just like otherworldly for her at this point, given the year she's had.
It was unbelievable.
She was ready,
actually. Go ahead, Gino. Go ahead.
She was ready for it. She was definitely waiting for this for a long time. It's been a little over a year since the first single came out, so she's been begging us for, what, Steve, like 6 or 7 months to have this new music out. So I think it was just probably one of the best moments for her so far to finally just release it and know that people are finally going to experience what she's been working on for the last 9-10 months.
Nice. And we should mention, we had the word creative in your title. Gino, you're the co-writer of Hideaway and of Sit Still, Look Pretty, and other songs. So you must be pretty proud for many reasons, but for just on the artistic side as well. That's your work out there as well.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's sort of like having a baby. Steve and I had a baby together, I guess. it's been pretty crazy just starting with her from the very beginning and seeing it out to the very end. I was able to executive produce my first album, and I co-wrote all the tracks on the album with Daya and with some other great writers that I've been working with for a long time. So yeah, it's just an amazing feeling to be part of something that's so special to all of us and that's getting such a great reception from the American audience listening in.
Yeah, we'll get into the creative side. I want to ask you about that and the writing of the two big hits so far specifically. But Steve, take us back to the beginning. More than a year ago, even before that, to how this whole label Artbeats started. And you have an extensive background at major labels, so I'm sure that played into your decision to branch out on your own. And just take us back to the beginning of how this label started.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Gary. I have to tell you, I've been in the record business for 30 years. I started at Virgin Records when they started in America. I was one of the first 20 employees. I moved over to Warner Brothers. I worked at MCA, and then I worked for Irving Azoff in management. And for the last 30 years, I've been watching how things work, and I felt like it was my time. I've been trying a few times before. I had a pretty decent success with a band called The Cab on my own label. We, you know, we had a gold single and we sold a couple hundred thousand albums. So I had some experience, but this one was different. From the beginning, Gino came into my office a little over, about a year and a half ago. And
It's 2 years.
Is it 2 years already? It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, 2 years. And he walks into my office. I've been managing Gino and as a songwriter. And he goes, he says, you have to hear this record I just recorded. So he comes into the office. He plays me Hideaway. Basically, Gino can fill you in on the story, but Gino was in a writing camp where he had Dea, whose real name is Grace Tandon,
yeah.
And he asked her if she wanted to work on this and sing it, and asked her to, and they just like cold recorded the single. He got it one take, brought it to my office. I heard it and flipped out. That moment, I knew we had to do something with her. In the beginning, we were talking about management. We were going to put it on my label and just see where it went from there. Obviously, in the beginning, I was thinking, you know, let's get it signed to a major label. Let's do what we always do. So I started sending it out to a bunch of labels. Funny enough, bid on it. Nobody. So we kept going. Within, like, I don't know, like 3 weeks of having the record out at radio. By the way, I started working it myself at radio. I'm also a radio promotion guy.
Right.
And we started selling 6,000 singles a week, like instantly. It was unbelievable. And I want to give credit to the guy who really got it going for us, and that was Kid Kelly at Sirius Hits 1, Sirius XM Hits 1. That guy believed in it. He heard this record. He wanted to help us. He started playing that thing, and I'm telling you, it was like lightning in a bottle. Every time I heard that song, or every time it played on Sirius Hits 1, our sales went up. I could see it on iTunes instantly. He just knew we had like a special record. So anyway, going back to the beginning, so I heard the record. I immediately called Dea's mom and her dad with Gino and had them come to L.A. We agreed on that I would manage her and that we'd put it on our label and see where it went. Like I said, we were originally going to put it on a major label, but it just started happening. And I felt like, you know what, let's do it ourselves. And we did. And for about a year, I don't think my phone would stop ringing. Like after about 6 months, every label was calling me up. They wanted to give us money. They wanted to sign her. And I just said, you know what, I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah.
So I did.
That's where we're at right now.
We're on our second single on a EP, and her album's coming out tomorrow. And we also got her on the Chainsmokers record, which went number one. So the girl has three platinum singles as of this week. In fact, we presented her with a platinum single for Sis to Look Pretty at her record release party. So pretty amazing. And Gino, I think, can tell you about knowing her, meeting her, and how it all happened.
Yeah, I'll ask you about that. But it's interesting what you just said, Steve, of how after all the labels that you went to passed on her, once Hideaway kicked in, then they came back and you said, nope, you had your chance.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. I mean, I came close a bunch of times. You know, there are a lot of people that were courting me. I talked to everybody. I took meetings with everybody. And I just realized by the time they were coming at me, I saw the potential, and I knew that I can do what they can do without them, and nothing against them. But, you know, they were offering us an advance, you know, a good-sized advance. But honestly, I already saw the numbers in my head, and I saw what was happening, and I knew that we could be more successful on our own. And the truth is, that put more money into Dea's career and into her pocket, you know, by doing it ourselves. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the fact to say that Dea is like an artist with three platinum singles, fully recouped from our record label, and on her way to become a superstar.
I remember it the first time I heard about Dea. I was with Elvis Duran. This is again about a little more than a year ago, and we were doing a story, Day in the Life of Elvis, and Dea was the Elvis's Artist of the Month at the Today Show, and you could tell that there was something brewing. Elvis was a huge fan of the song, and Dea was in high school at the time. She was talking with Kathy Lee and Hoda about you know, still being in high school. But I got the sense that it was the beginning of something. It seemed like there was just, between the song and her singing, that there was some spark there.
there was that feeling, but I have to also say, going back to the beginning, that I saw, you know, the artists that were on before us on, like, the Elvis Duran, you know, like, I don't want to name artists, but there were artists that were on there before us, and, you know, they were going to be the next big thing. I have to say, we're the only one who ended up with three platinum singles. Something magical happened. You know, I just have to say, I'm going to attribute it to a few things. I think our work ethic as a team was unbelievable. I feel like Gino's songwriting with Dea was incredible with all our other songwriters involved in this project. They just crushed it. And then I also want to say that Dea has a magical voice. And something about her voice on record is so warm and comforting. It's like part of the ingredient. We have the perfect combination happening right now.
All right, tell me about this this writing camp. And Gino, this is where your talents really come in. Did you know Dea beforehand? You'd worked with her, but how did it just wind up that you had a camp, she was there, suddenly Hideaway gets written and recorded, and look where we are now a year later?
Well, I'm at Dea. I still have a tough time calling her that because I've known her for so long. I met Grace when she was probably about 12, so it's been about 4 years.
Oh, okay.
I'm from Pennsylvania as well. She's from Pittsburgh. I'm from the Poconos. But after I graduated high school, I went out to Pittsburgh. I went to Carnegie Mellon University for a year to study music. And while I was there, one of the girls that I went to school with formed a really good relationship with her. And after I had left Carnegie Mellon to come out to L.A., you know, I started transitioning to contemporary music, and I started exploring with songwriting and production. And after she graduated, this girl, Christina Tarumbolo, she opened up a conservatory outside of Pittsburgh in one of the rural towns. And, you know, she started doing these programs with these young kids for, you know, musical theater and classical music. But a lot of her students were interested in working more on the contemporary side of things and pop music. And as I was starting to sort of work and come up a little bit as a songwriter, she reached out and she said, you know, I'm seeing what you're doing out there in LA, and we don't really have a lot of that here in Pittsburgh. It's sort of all rooted in the classical and theatrical genres, and all these kids who are watching American Idol and The Voice and America's Got Talent want to sing all these pop songs, and I just don't know how to, I don't know how to teach them, and I don't know, you know, a thing about songwriting, and some of the kids are interested in writing songs. So I went, I think probably in 2012, for the first time, and did a summer camp, and that's actually where I met Grace. And she was just one of those students who had, you know, that extra drive and this like fire in her eyes about wanting to know everything about songwriting and the recording process and pop music, and she, there was just something different about her. But obviously, you know, as a 20-something, you know, trying to work in the music industry, I'm not looking at a 12-year-old thinking, okay, this is my next find. You know, I'm thinking, okay, you know, in 6 years when she's out of high school, then we can have a serious conversation.
Right.
But as the years sort of went by and I was going back and forth between L.A. and Pittsburgh doing these workshops and seminars, she was becoming more and more serious, and I was having conversations with her mother about how much she really wanted to do this. She wanted to come to LA. She wanted to meet some of the producers I was working with. She wanted to get into the studio. And, you know, to be honest, I was still really, really hesitant because I didn't know what I would do, you know, after we recorded the song. You know, if she were to come out and we were to say, okay, let's get in the studio and this is how much it's going to cost, because we all know that, you know, the recording process and the songwriting and production process is not cheap. You know, I didn't know what the next step would be. But finally, it sort of came to this point where she and her mom were almost relentless with me, saying, you know, she needs to come out, and you're the person that she wants to work with. Can we please make something happen? And I said, you know, I could put something together, but I can't make any promises about what's going to happen after the fact. But I have some friends who are also great songwriters who I work really well with, and some great producers. So let's just set up a writing camp where Grace can come out and sit in the sessions and collaborate and sort of really get a hands-on look at how things work sort of behind the scenes. And so she came out to LA in January of 2015, and we had 6 days in the studio. We were at Paramount Recording Studios down on Santa Monica Boulevard, and we had 5 days of writing where I just brought in a couple different producers, a couple different writers, and we would work 10, 12 hours a day, you know, just writing songs and sort of going through different genres and different processes. And on the second day of the camp, we wrote Hideaway. And from the very beginning, she was like, this is the song at the end of the week. So I told her she could record one song at the end of the week. And she said, this is the song I want to record. And I said, no. You know, there's another song that we already wrote that I think is perfect for you. And it seems like it suits you more. And this is more of like a pop record. And at the time, she was doing a lot of acoustic stuff because she plays piano as well. Yeah. And I was almost fighting her on it. And then at the end of the week, I made her record the other song. And then we had all this time left over. So I said to her, okay, fine. Like, you know, we have all this extra time. We might as well just have you cut this song because it's a female record anyway. I'm like the big brother and the mentor who's like, I'm not going to give you what you want right away. But it turns out that she actually knew better than I did, I think, at the time that the song was meant for her, because as soon as she got on the mic and started recording this song, everyone in the room was just like, oh my gosh, like our jaws were on the floor. Yeah. Like, this song is actually incredible, and her voice on it is just magic. And so, you know, that's how the Hideaway thing came about. And after the camp, it was sort of like, okay, just go back to Pittsburgh, go back to school, go about your life, and we'll do another writing camp, you know, in the summer. But funny enough, you know, a week later, I was in Steve's office just catching up, and he said, do you have any music? And I said, yeah, I have some new songs. Like, I did this song with this girl, you know, she's 15, she's just a voice student, it's nothing big. You know, I'm downplaying it because I don't hear things the way that Steve hears them as a radio promo guy.
Yeah.
And as soon as I played it, he was like jumping out of his chair saying, this is amazing, this is special, like, who is this? Who's this girl, and what is this song? Like, oh, it's just a voice student of mine, like, it's no big deal. And he said, no, this is a hit record, like, we have to do something with this. And I thought he was crazy, but I mean, the rest is history, so we know the rest of the story. He was right on point, and she was right on point, and like he said, it's sort of just a magical chemistry that was the right place in the right time, and we just rolled with it, and, you know, now we are where we are.
Do you remember the actual process of writing Hideaway, Gina? How, where the title came from, where the whole message, what do you remember about just the song's origins?
Well, the first day she came into the studio, it was a Monday, and there were a couple writers in the room, and she was, at the time, you know, she was very shy, and she, you know, she was a 15-year-old girl who really wanted to write songs, and I was putting her in the room with some other people who had, you know, big credits writing for Justin Bieber and Meghan Trainor and all these different people. So I think at the beginning she was quite intimidated by the whole process because, you know, as a creative person, sometimes you hesitate to say, you know, what your thoughts are out loud because you don't want people to judge you, or you don't want people to say, yeah, that's not such a great idea.
Right.
And so she was kind of silent the first day. And at the end of that day, I said, you know, tomorrow when you come in, I want you to feel free. I want you to open up and don't be afraid. You know, I've known you for years and we're good friends, and I'm not going to judge you. If anybody in the room isn't going to judge you, it's going to be me. And so she comes in the next day, and, you know, we're all sitting around. It was me, Scott Brusnack, the producer, Britton Newbill, one of the other co-writers, and Brett McLaughlin, who's another one of the co-writers on Hideaway. And we were all just kind of sitting around, and Scott was sort of drumming up this track, and I said to Grace, I said, you know, tell me what's going on in your life. You know, open up. Feel free. You know, her mom was there with her, too. So I said, you know, Mom, you got to leave the room for a little bit. I want your daughter to feel like she can say whatever is really going on in her life. She's, you know, talking to a boy, or if she has a boyfriend, or if she has a crush, or whatever is going on. And, you know, she kind of told me, she said, you know, I'm at that age where, like, yeah, you know, boys are kind of interesting to me, but, like, you know, I want to find somebody. If I'm going to date, you know, as a teenager in high school, I want to make sure that guy really respects me. And, you know, a lot of guys nowadays just want certain things that I'm not willing to compromise on, you know, morals and ethics and standards and that sort of thing. And I was like, well, you know what, that's a really great song. You know, girls your age and above, your, you know, from 8 to 80 can really relate to that sentiment of wanting to find a really good guy. And Scott had sort of done this little track, which actually ends up being the track for the song. We didn't change it at all. And we all sort of just kind of started humming melodies, and Brett came up with this melody that eventually turned into the hook. And I started humming it, and then I was like, where do the good boys go? I'm like, where do the good boys go to Hideaway? That's a great hook. Like, yeah. We have a hook. We have a song. And the song was probably finished being written in like 30 or 40 minutes. And it was just one of those things that instantly just made sense. It was easy. It was one of those songs that just seemed like a no-brainer. And we took it for what it was. We're all songwriters, so we never really know in the moment, is something great or is it just another song? You know, we were happy that it seemed like a big catchy hook, and the production was cool, and the lyric was relevant, but you never know what it's going to take. So we finished that song, and we just moved on to another one, and it was like that for the rest of the week until the end when she finally.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I recorded it.
We've talked a lot on the podcast about songwriting and collaborations and how it's pretty rare for one person to write a song by themselves. And it's interesting to hear how in that case of collaboration, you have all these people in a room, and you're saying Daya was even intimidated at first, but it's pretty cool to hear that it really was her message, and there is so much of her life and her voice in the lyrics to that song, because I think that's such a key reason why the song became a hit, because it has to speak to her fans on such
exactly.
a personal level.
Yeah, exactly, and that was really key, I think, too, moving forward, because after Steve started working Hideaway and it started taking off, you know, she had to be on the road. She was doing station visits every single day and doing performances. And
wait, Gito, I've cut you off, Gito. One thing, she was in high school for 3 of the months when we started, just so you know. She was studying for her finals and thinking about prom. But go ahead, Gino. I'm sorry. I had to say that.
But once she started going, after she was finished with school, you know, there was this pressure from Steve, and then once we started working with Sony Red, they said, we need an EP. And I said, well, I don't have any time with her. You know, they wanted an EP in like a month or two. And she was, you know, booked up with all these dates for performances and visits and whatnot, doing promotion for the single. So I got back in the studio with the same guys, and I said, okay, well, I know Grace for a really long time. And the core message of Hideaway really is who she is as a person. And for a 16-year-old to be talking about relationships, a lot of times it doesn't connect with people because, you know, if they're singing about love and heartbreak and all this stuff, people realize that they haven't really gone through that. But what she was going through, which was, you know, looking for or waiting for that right person to even just begin experiencing what you might think is love, and standing up as a young female and saying, you know, we don't have to be treated a certain way or told that we can't do things, is just a really relevant message to girls her age and beyond. And it was something that she was really passionate about, you know, the whole empowerment thing. So having that personal connection with her really, I think, assisted in the development of the music on the EP and the album, because we tapped into something that was really honest for her and authentic, so that even when she couldn't be in the room to collaborate, it still felt like it was her voice that was ringing through, you know, on all the songs.
And her mom really, she stayed out of the room when Hideaway was written. It's like a songwriter confidentiality.
I wanted Grace to feel comfortable that she could say anything that was on her mind, you know? But, you know, her mother was in and out, obviously, because she wanted to sort of see how it worked as well. And she had the video camera, and we were kind of all documenting. But, yeah, you know, I experienced that a lot when I'm working with young artists, because I was doing a lot of that when I was doing those seminars and those summer camps. And, you know, when the parents sit in on their voice lessons or their songwriting classes, they all kind of, like, go into their shell because they're, like, almost embarrassed to say, oh, I like this boy at school, or, you know, there's this girl I'm talking to. You know, the kids, like, shut down when their parents are around. So it almost inhibits them at certain points in the creative process. But, you know, now she's getting to the point where, you know, she's on the road with her mom, so I think she'd probably say anything at this point around her.
Well, it sounds like her mom is really a big part of her success in such a positive way.
Yeah, she's been incredibly supportive of her from the very beginning, from the day that I met her. You know, they have 4 other daughters, and they all have such drastically different aspirations and talents. And I've been around them, you know, long enough to know that they will support their daughters and their dreams until the very end, no matter what it is, whether it be, you know, in the field that they excelled in, which was engineering, or whether it be, you know, I want to be a pop star. They're incredible parents in allowing their kids to just like spread their wings and do whatever it is that they really are truly passionate about, which is incredible.
Oh, that's great. And let me ask you, Gino, was Sit Still, Look Pretty written in that same week, or did that come later?
Sit Still, Look Pretty came later, out of actually quite a random session with another writer who I had never met, Mike Campbell. He's actually based in New York. He was a co-writer on Say Something. And one of my friends, who I also went to Carnegie Mellon with, set me up with him. She said, he's coming out to L.A. for a couple days. You guys should just get together and write. So I had a session just at my house in my living room. It was me, Mike Campbell, and then Britton Newbill, one of the other guys on Hideaway. And Mike came in and he said, I have this title that I've been thinking about. It's called Sit Still, Look Pretty. And we were like, oh, that sounds cool. That's a pretty cool title. So we wrote the song, and when the song started, it was actually a completely different lyric. It was actually really inappropriate and very racy about, you know, a girl out on the town getting drunk because she didn't want to, you know, getting drunk and doing whatever she wanted to because, you know, she didn't want to be just a plain Jane. And as we finished the song, and I took it to Scott to produce it, and I'm like, wow, this lyric is actually really cool, but it sonically would really work really well for Daya after Hideaway had sort of taken off. I'm like, this would be a great song for Daya, but she cannot say any of these lyrics. So before she came out to L.A. again, I sat down with Britt and I said, we have to rewrite this whole thing because the concept of Sit Still Pretty is such a strong empowerment message for girls. But, you know, we can't be talking about going to the club and you know, taking shots and all this stuff with a 17-year-old. So we kind of scratched the whole lyric and started from the beginning all over again, and just thought, okay, if the same girl who was singing Hideaway was singing I Don't Want It to Still Look Pretty, what exactly would she say? And, you know, again, it was one of those things that was sort of just very quick and easy because we knew Grace. We knew what the message and the brand of Daya was starting to become for her.
Yeah, I was going to say it. It sounds like both of those songs have similar themes, and you feel like you're getting to know who she is, a strong, strong young
exactly.
woman. And both of those songs kind of hit that angle.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, let me ask you. Hideaway, you said kid Kelly at SiriusXM was really a big supporter early on. It still took a little while for a Hideaway to cut through it. It wound up going top 10 at pop radio, which is great. And now Sit Still, Look Pretty has gone top 10 again at top 40 radio. So it's two days of solo top 10s. Is it still, because it's taken a little while for both of those songs to come home at the format, do you still face a little a bit of a challenge because you're an indie? And tell me how Sony Red plays into Artbeats, but it probably has to be a little bit of a challenge, and that probably makes it really a sweeter reward when you see both of these songs go top 10.
Yeah, first I want to say Sony Red is our partner. When we started out the first single, I was on my own, and I needed a partner because when I had the cab, you know, I charted three pop records, but I didn't do it with anybody, and I wasn't able to get in. You know, I felt like radio kept me out because I was really an indie. I mean, I was doing it myself. You know, I put it up myself, no distributor, nothing. I saw that, you know, Danny Bush had a lot of success with some other acts like Mumford & Sons, and I knew he had a link into getting into radio and helping us be successful. And I just want to say from day one, it's funny, I'm still struggling. You'd be surprised. You think it would be easy, like easier now that I have two top 10 records. I pray that my next single, which is a monster called Words, is our next single off the album.
Yeah.
And I pray they get it this time and they all hit the record and they don't make me work for it so hard. Honestly, I have struggled. I've struggled from day one. Gino can tell you I've lost sleep. I've aged. My family doesn't know me anymore. I'm serious. I do so much stuff to have to stay on top of it, and I'm nonstop being stressed out because, you know, radio, they fight. They fight you on everything, you know, and you know how it works, radio. You have the big radio chains who have their priorities, they have their agendas, and the major labels get the shots. They get them all the time because they have superstars that you know, the radio chains need, so they give them shots on other records, you know, because they have to stay in business and just how it's set up. It's not their fault. It's not my fault. It's just how it's set up. So, you know, from the first day, I mean, I can't tell you, I was selling 90,000 singles a week on Hideaway, and I still had people, radio stations, tell me, I don't know, you know, we don't really play indie records. If you can believe that, it's true. I'm having a problem right now. I still have like 7 or 8 major pop radio stations not playing Sit Still Look Pretty. It's unbelievable. And it's like, and they feel no wrath from us. You know what I'm saying? We're a small company. Yeah. We can't do anything to anybody. All we can do is have hit songs. We can't make anyone do anything they don't want to do, which I wish radio would understand that if we have a top 10 record, we're at 8 bullet right now on the chart. If they understood that there's no way that we could be at 8 bullet on the chart if it wasn't real. There's no way. It's not possible. They wouldn't allow it to happen. They should give us extra love, you know? When we have a record that goes top 10, they should all be playing it in sub power to power rotation because there's no way it could be done unless it's real. I have no moves, you know? All I have is a hit record. And by the way, it's our third hit record. So, I say third because we also had the Chainsmokers hit right. as well. So I just want to say we've been struggling and we continue to struggle. Every look. It goes to press, it goes to radio, it goes to everything. You know, we go on a TV show. They want us to still play Hideaway when Sit Still Look Pretty's top 10. Why? Because we're in the L.A. market. Could you believe the L.A.? There's nobody playing the record in L.A. yet. Kiss just added the record this week. Oh. We're very happy and thankful about that.
Thank you,
Kiss. But thank you, Kiss. And we've had no airplay in the market. And you know how frustrating it is that the executive producer of, like Dancing with the Stars doesn't even know it's Sit Still Look Pretty, and it's top 10, and tells us we have to perform Hideaway on TV, you know, because he doesn't know it. It's funny, but it's still happening. It happens with TV looks. I mean, I'd love to be on the Ellen Show. I'd love. Yeah, I'm being very honest with you here yeah. on this conversation. I'd love to be on the Ellen Show. I'd love to be on the Tonight Show. You know, we've been on the Today Show twice. We've been on Good Morning America with the Chainsmokers. James Corden, we've been on that show. But we're still fighting because we don't have a machine behind us, you know? And it makes it, to answer your other question,
yeah
it's super sweet. Daya's amazing. We're a team. You know, Daya's mom has been helping us so much. And, like, on the road with her, we're doing this together. You know, it's a small company, and we have one of the big pop. Look, you guys just made her top 5, 21 under 21. And we did that.
She did that
without a major label. It's unbelievable.
She did that. We're just reflecting her success.
I know. Yeah.
The funny, I mean, if you were to look at it on a really, on the total positive side, you could say it's a good problem to have that people want to hear Hideaway instead of the new single. That just shows you. I mean, if you knew that a year ago, that your problem would be, oh, people are sticking with the first hit, you'd probably think that's a good problem to have.
No, absolutely. I mean, I was answering your question, so basically asking about the struggles. But on the positive note, we did do it. And now we have a lot of credibility, and it's helping us in many other ways as a company. Where Gino is now a hit songwriter, as is every other producer and songwriter. We changed the lives of so many people with this project because we didn't use every person that gets hired to write every hit song that's on the radio. We had our own team. We're all friends, and we were at a party. I swear to you, we were at this listening party, and I could see in the room how many people were, like, just starting out their career, trying to get a break, and now they're all hit songwriters, hit producers, hit artists. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I feel like we created a cottage industry in the music business. There's more artists coming our way because of it.
You know, it's interesting, Steve. Kelsey Ballerini said the same thing on the country side about her success, how she did her album that's had 3 number ones at country radio now, and she said, oh, it was just me and my friends writing and producing this. Same kind of thing. You never know where the connection's going to be made. It doesn't always need the big names.
That's right. We love Kelsey as well. You know, Daya did a duet with her on Radio Disney Music Awards.
Right.
And Kelsey is another artist that I admire a lot. She's like us. We're all the same. You know, and we're doing this, and we're really, really proud of the work we're doing, and it's quality. I mean, it's quality. Most people wouldn't want to put 14 hit songs on an album, but this is, I'm saying right now, this is Gino Barletta's masterpiece and Daya's masterpiece, and it's going to go down in history. People are going to be so blown away when they hear this record. It's that good.
The other piece of the day of great puzzle so far in this first year, Steve, and the way I look at it is if it had just been a Hideaway and Sit Still Look Pretty hitting the top 10, that'd still be a great first year for a new artist. But in the middle, this other minor hit you mentioned, Don't Let Me Down by the Chainsmokers, featuring Daya.
Yeah.
Was that even was that a part of the equation early on, or that one just fall into your lap and boom, just like that, you wind up with a huge number three Hot 100 hit that's one of the biggest hits of the year?
I'll tell you how it happened. It's a great story. We were working Hideaway. We were just getting started. You know, it was starting to take traction, and it was distributed through Red. Also at Red, Tom over at Red at REL, which is their Red Associated Labels, he was working the Chainsmokers record Roses. At the time, you know, the Chainsmokers had that hit Selfie, which is a novelty hit, and then Roses was breaking. So they weren't like what they are now.
Right.
They were just, again, they were on an independent label, and they hadn't broken big, but they sent me the song. They actually sent me a demo. Emily Warren, I believe, wrote the single.
Yes,
and they sent me the demo, and I heard the demo. I have the demo still. And they said, what do you think about Daya submitting, you know, because they saw us breaking Daya. And I said, what do you think about Daya singing on this song? And remember, they, you know, at the time, Roses, you know, nobody knew who Roses was either. And Gino actually took Daya in the studio, per my suggestion, and recorded it in our studio and sent it to them. And they got it. And the exact words were winner, winner. I think we have a winner here. And again, we didn't know what it would be. At the time, Roses wasn't even a hit yet. So we didn't know. We thought it was cool because we wanted to be on the EDM records. And I also managed Daya. So as a manager, I wanted to expand her audience. So I felt, you know, Chainsmokers are big with college kids. You know, at the time, they weren't as big again as they are now. And I thought it would be a good, you know, a good look for her. And the song, when we heard it, like, combined, is just magic. And Gino actually executive produced the vocals on that record. And so it was an amazing collaboration. And look at it now. I mean, you know, think about it. When she performs live, you know, she gets to own that song because she performs it with her band, and it sounds like the record. And you can't duplicate her voice with another person, you know? So it gives her three hits to go on tour with, which, by the way, she's going on tour in February for her first headline tour, and we're excited about that as well.
Well, that is great, guys. It's a really cool success story. I mean, we've written about it early on, late last year, when Hideaway was breaking through, and I've just been a fan of the story. How you wind up rooting for the underdog when you see what you guys have been doing, and now a year later to see the album come out, three hits for Daya. Just congratulations all around. It really is a great story. What else is in the future for Artbeats? Other artists you guys are looking to promote next? Or is it right now the focus really is on Daya?
Daya is always obviously going to be a huge focus because she sort of, you know, was the startup of the company, and that project is so near and dear to both Steve and I and the rest of the team. But we also had a new signing. Her name is Simon, S-Y-M-O-N, who put out a little teaser single earlier in the year called Say. But now we're getting in the studio again and really buckling down to prepare the first single, which I think will come out within the next few months. And then my project as well, which will be starting as soon as I finish working with everybody else. But yeah, I think Steve and I are always eyes and ears open for exciting talent, you know, people that have something unique. And Steve and I are both artists in our own right. So I think the most important thing is that we really work with people who have artistic integrity and vision and something different that people can connect to. We're not just looking for, you know, someone who could be a placeholder for a hit song. We really, really want to work with artists that are going to make an impact and leave a mark on the industry, which I think is, you know, what Daya is doing, and I think it's what Simon will do, and I pray that it's what I will do as an artist as well, and hopefully everyone else that we work with in the future.
And Gina, you said you still call Daya Grace. Have you seen her change at all, personality-wise, in the last year? She's now, I'm sure she's become more confident, but still down to earth, still the same girl.
She has certainly become more confident. I think the only way that I've seen her change is she's just become more mature and wiser and more talented and even more dedicated to her craft and the project than she was in the very beginning. I mean, she's really a special girl. Like, since the day that I met her, she's wise beyond her years, and you know, I give a lot of credit to her parents for exposing them to so many different things. You know, they traveled all over the world and do a lot of charity work in other countries and building houses for underprivileged children in like third world countries. I mean, they're just there's an amazing family, and she's always had just a great foundational core ethic in her, and I don't think that will ever change. She's definitely, you know, it has not gone through her head, and she knows that the people around her really care about her and love her, and I think the feelings are mutual, and she'll always stick with the people who have her back, and vice versa. So it's really cool to see her have such success and still be who she was in the very beginning.
Thanks, guys, for coming on the Sharp Beat podcast.
Thank you so much, Gary.